back with another episode of Brick House. Almost cracked the teens, Matt. We're at number 20 on the countdown, previewing the NBA 2015-2016 season.
Dude, what a ride it's been.
We made it all the way to Detroit, Michigan. Detroit, Michigan, where the Pistons play. You know, when I think about the Pistons and their new head honcho, Stan Van Gundy, I think about the movie School of Rock, Matt.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
With old Stan as the Jack Black character. He's the substitute teacher who's just, he's showed up and he's in charge now. He's imposing his will. He's getting Andre Drummond to learn how to play drums. He didn't know how to tie his shoes before he got there. Now he's a mini Dwight Howard. Reggie Jackson, he's playing guitar for, you know, Slash money.
Mm-hmm.
And, more than Slash money, maybe. But let's not be mistaken. Stan the man is always going to be the front man in this band.
Mm-hmm.
And, anyways, they're just throwing out their old class assignments. He's got the perfect vision. Yeah, throw away your books, because we're just learning bass lines this semester, guys.
Previously on the Detroit Pistons.
At some point, maybe it was in 2010, maybe it was the Iverson trade, there was an iconic photo taken of Joe Dumars with a cell phone on each ear,
yeah,
in each hand.
I've seen that. Yeah, that's pretty great.
Pretty much sums up his last few years there. I mean, even when they were doing well, he drafted Darko Milicic over Melo, Bosch, and Wade, and they won the finals that year anyways.
Right, it didn't matter. It didn't matter at all.
Right.
In 2009, they got swept by the Cavs, and that was the last time they're in the playoffs, and it has been torturous basketball ever since then.
Right. And then, you know, we have to mention just last season, Stan showed up, and the highest paid player on the team was Josh Smith. I was really expecting with Van Gundy arriving, regardless of the roster, that they would probably make the playoffs because he's such a good coach.
Right.
But
the East is so bad.
The East is terrible, yeah. Right. But Josh Smith was their highest paid player, and he was terrible. I mean, he's shooting 4 or 5 threes a game and making 25% of them. He was just a bad example, and so when they couldn't convince pretty much the Sacramento Kings to take him, Stan just decided, you know what, we're just going to pay you to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, just get out.
And it wasn't until I was doing the research and preparing for this preview that I realized, because, you know, if you watched any of the Rockets playoffs last year, then you would know, because the announcers told you 3 times per quarter, pretty much, that Josh Smith and Dwight Howard were AAU teammates,
yeah,
and best friends. And the last situation that Van Gundy left was in Orlando, where Dwight left him holding a dirty diaper,
yeah,
as it were. And
they had that one thing where they were kind of talking trash about each other, and then they had that awkward interaction where Howard sat next to Van Gundy and was like joking about how they don't really hate each other, but it was literally seconds after Van Gundy kind of trashed him to the
right
media. Yeah, it was real weird.
I almost wanted to make the metaphor for the Pistons the movie Taken, you know, because it would be Stan Van Gundy getting the call from Dwight Howard, yeah, okay, we're gonna get you fired from the Orlando Magic.
Yeah.
And he's just like, Dwight, I want you to listen to me. I have a particular set of skills, and if not you, I will fire your best friend.
Yes.
From the next team.
Someone,
I coach.
Someone's going down for this.
The Pistons have one of the new class of owners. 2011, Tom Gores and his private equity firm purchased the team. Tom Gores, if you go to his website, Platinum Equity Group, which is a private equity firm based in Beverly Hills, his photo for CEO has a striking resemblance to Don Johnson of Miami Vice, not only in haircut and tan, but his suit looks like it's from 1987, and it's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know what when they were shooting these photos, what they told him, like, what's my motivation? Like, just be Don Johnson, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Just look like someone that people want to give hundreds of millions of dollars to.
I think I trust you. I'm not sure, but I trust you. Sure. I trust you. I trust you. That's the thought process.
These new owners, I got to say, pretty much anyone who's bought a team in the past 5 years, unless you're Steve Ballmer, is a private equity money manager starting to get a little bored with these guys. What can I tell you about him? The private equity company is one of the biggest in America. He's a Catholic born in Israel. Pistons are now worth $810 million. And just actually last week, he bought the remaining 49% of the Pistons from his equity firm.
So now he owns all of
them. Now he owns them outright.
So he...
He bought it 51% with his own money, 49% with his equity firm's money. Hmm. Now he's bought it out. And, you know, people were wondering, actually, because he's an investor, whether or not he planned on owning the team in the long term, because private equity groups have a finite amount of time. I mean, they have a life cycle. They put money in, and 5 years later, they take 10 times as much money out, or whatever their plan is.
The final sale price on the Pistons, and this was only in 2011, was $325 million.
Right.
Which...
They've gone up almost $500 million since then.
Yeah, that's insane. That's...
Thank you, Steve Ballmer.
Yeah, that's so cheap. He could have bought 6 Pistons for what Ballmer bought the Clippers.
Right. Wow.
And so now it's doubled in price, you said? Oh, more than doubled.
Forbes put it at $810 million last year.
So that guy made $500 million.
$500 million so far, counting.
Okay.
And now the starting lineup for your Detroit Pistons.
They added through free agency. They added Aaron Baines of the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, do you have his contract in front of you?
I think it was 3 years, $20 million.
Wow.
Good time to be a free agent. Good time to be Aaron Baines. You know, quick Aaron Baines story. My brother Adam used to work a little bit with Washington State, so. One time they had some of the Washington State players come to Phoenix for a photo shoot. So Adam was in charge of driving them all around and showing them a good time in Phoenix. And they went to a comedy club, and it was Baines and a couple other guys. And that year, for a promotional poster, they dressed up Aaron Baines and another one of the players, Taylor Rodchesty, as the cover of Superbad.
Oh,
so
wow.
Baines was the Jonah Hill character.
Did he have a fro?
Yeah, they put like a fro on him. So it was weird a few years ago to see Baines start doing stuff with the Spurs, and now he signed a contract that obviously isn't as big in today's NBA, but none of us really thought that Baines would sign a 3-year $20 million deal.
Yeah.
But he's 7 feet tall, or right about there. And honestly, if someone plays, we've talked about this before, if someone plays a little bit with the Spurs, they're probably worth the risk.
If you're a role player pretty much in the conference championship, whether you're on the Lakers, the Spurs, the Celtics, you know, you get that James Posey contract. You get that Earl Clark or Trevor Ariza deal.
Yeah.
Just by putting up 12 points on the Lakers or the Spurs, and Baines probably put up, 5 or 6 points a game on the Spurs.
Yeah.
That's scored 20 points on the Milwaukee Bucks, I guess.
Right, but he just had the airtime in the playoffs. So you exactly. see him. It's like about a decade ago when Tim Thomas got cut, went to the Suns, started hitting threes, and then immediately signed another big deal. Like He wasn't good enough for
and then
his
put
deal.
His feet up again.
Yeah. That's what happened. So then they also traded Caron Butler and got Ersan Ilyasova.
Okay. Yeah, from Milwaukee.
And then they traded for Marcus Morris, Danny Granger, and Reggie Bullock from the Suns for nothing. The Suns just wanted to clear $9 million, so they gave them.
And they wanted to get rid of the Alpha Twin.
Yeah.
The Alpha Morris.
Yeah, right. So they gave him Marcus Morris, which is, they can have him. But it looks like...
Yeah, Reggie Jackson in free agency.
Right, Reggie Jackson aforementioned. For a contract that made John Wall stutter and stumble.
Normally, NBA players don't say anything about money.
Right.
Because that is the biggest faux pas.
Well, but you also want, if you're John Wall, you want Reggie Jackson to get as much as he can because that means John Wall is going to get as much as he can.
So Reggie Jackson gets 80, I should get 160.
So that's why they never really talk about contracts. But the Reggie Jackson 5 years, $80 million was just befuddling because he averaged – the most he averaged in OKC was 14.5 points a game, which is fine. 14.5 points a game, 6 assists. Fine. That's not bad. Those numbers bumped up last year halfway through the season when he got traded to Detroit to 17-9, which is good.
Yeah.
But
he's not James Harden.
Right. And again, it's Detroit, so it's a bad team. So how much of that is just money on a bad – or stats on a bad team? I guess you would have to start Reggie Jackson at point guard with that money.
Yeah.
With Brandon Jennings, they'll find someone to take him maybe. They also have Steve Blake. So at shooting guard, they have KCP –
Contavious Caldwell-Pope.
Who, I got to be honest, I didn't
not
watch...
starting the $6 million Jody Meeks, huh?
Yeah, well, those are just for... That's a $6 million you spend just for threes off the bench, really. I mean, but even then, Pope...
$3 million per three.
Exactly. Pope is apparently supposed to be a good three-point shooter, too.
I've heard that this guy is supposed to be good. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Maybe he'll catch, because he does have the $6 million man nipping at his heels.
Right.
So then small forward, got to go Stanley Johnson.
Starting over Alpha Morris?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, he did just get a Nike contract
and
fresh out of college.
And Alpha Morris has been was picked in the first round by the Houston Rockets and has been traded twice for second-round picks.
Yeah.
So
that hurts.
So that's not like a confidence boost. Maybe here's what you do. You start Marcus Morris. 2 minutes into the game, you pull him and let Stanley Johnson play the next 46 minutes.
Just let him hear his name be announced over the loudspeakers.
46. Is my math right?
I'm 46 and 2. That's an NBA game.
Yeah, that is an NBA game.
What do you think the chances are that the Pistons trade for brother Markieff Morris? Any chance of that?
Well, they...
Because he wants to leave the Suns currently.
Right. The thought is his contract matches with Ilyasova's.
Ooh.
So they could trade him for Ilyasova. But do the Pistons even want him? Like
I just can't. The story is so surprising to me. It's almost like the Twins are refusing to play for tens of millions of dollars in the NBA unless they're on the same team.
The story is that a year or so ago, the Suns went to the Morris brothers and they said, "We have $52 million for the both of you. You can split $52 million however you want it." Also, remember, they didn't have to. So they didn't have to. Like, this was not a you're forced to sign this. So they gave him $52 million. Markieff took $32 million. Marcus took $20 million.
Right, okay.
Because they figure it stays in the same family. Again, just because someone offers you a contract doesn't mean you have to sign it.
Right.
So then they get upset because the Suns trade Marcus Morris without asking either of the Twins, who don't have no trade clauses. So
right.
They don't have to be asked. So it's power forward, I guess, until they get Markieff Morris, you start Ilyasova.
Yeah. He'll stretch the floor a little bit because Drummond's not making anything outside of dunking it.
Okay, so if we look at this current depth chart and we look at future, Stanley Johnson's the one outside of Drummond. Stanley Johnson's the one that projects to be their stud.
Yeah, I guess you got to hope that Reggie Jackson's going to play into that contract too. I mean, I don't think he lacks in confidence, which is a good thing for success in the NBA.
Record prediction.
What do you think these guys' record ends up being? Last year they were 32-50. But they did really well as soon as they cut Josh Smith. I think they went on a 9-game winning streak. So last year, 32-50. I got them at 37-45.
Wow, you have them jumping up 5 games.
Jumping up 5 games. I could be – this one I feel like I could be completely wrong about.
Yeah,
because, again, I think Stan Van Gundy's such a good coach. They could win 50 games.
What's your reasoning? Is it just – Van Gundy, that's why you think they're going.
Have you seen School of Rock, man?
I forgot. By the end, they're all Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Pretty much AC/DC.
Exactly. Side note, did you know the, and this probably has a lot to do with the recentness of the Pistons, but the Pistons in their franchise history have an under 500 record. They've lost more games as a franchise than they've won.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, which I guess when you're losing 50 games in six consecutive years, well, that'll help.
That doesn't help things, yeah.
But that basically negates the previous 7 years. So
when they went to the conference championship,
yeah. So even before, so at the 2000s pass, they were about a less than 500 team, which is real weird.
Oh, that's the Sam Hinkie formula: be really good or really bad.
Yeah, right. No need muddling around. I'll say that they are a 34 win team.
34. Okay.
Yeah. I honestly don't know. I don't see them. I think that Andre Drummond will be great, but I don't see anything else unless they just want Stanley Johnson to go out there and learn and try and do what he does.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
Wanted to paint LeBron in a positive light on this episode. You know, we're going to have plenty of times to rag on him in later episodes and throughout the season. But he actually is a pretty good dude. This part was inspired by an article in ESPN that was saying, this is the one area where Michael Jordan really can't live up to LeBron James, or LeBron James has definitely surpassed him, and that is in his philanthropy. The dude has 2,000 kids that he just promised, 2,000 kids who are in his program in Ohio that he has promised to pay for college for.
Wow.
This is going to be over $40 million worth of college tuition if all of these kids go. Not only that, he has offered their parents of the kids who have never finished high school or equivalency, he's offered to pay for their bus fare, their parking passes, and everything for GED prep classes, if they finish all the prep classes and take the test, also which he pays for, they get to keep the laptop computer that they loan them for the classes.
Wow.
I mean, compared to the $40 million for college tuition, this breaks down to, besides the laptop, about $127 a person, you know, for bus fare and so on that he's contributing. But just pretty cool dude. Pretty cool in that regard, LeBron giving back to the Ohio community. It's good someone's looking out for Ohio, I guess.
This isn't going to end up like a Michael Scott, The Office situation where he promised a bunch of kids.
Yeah, just a bunch of 18-year-olds standing around. Yeah, LeBron's then, like turning his inside-out pockets.
Then when it came time to actually pay, you know, he didn't have the money.
But, how about we all go see a movie instead?
Yeah.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
Matt, we both live in Los Angeles, and
fact,
occasionally we have friends, I imagine, that come and visit us from outside of the city.
Yeah.
So when people come to visit you, what's your like go-to restaurant or attraction to show people around, show them a good time?
You know, what I've been taking people to a lot lately has been Runyon Canyon.
Oh, okay.
Over in Hollywood.
Oh, tell me about that.
You know that one?
Good hiking? I've never been.
Yeah, it's a good hiking spot where you can see a bunch of the city.
Oh.
And it's a good thing that you can get outdoors and do something. And yeah, people seem to enjoy it.
Good.
There's a lot of people with their dogs.
Dog people. I'm a dog person.
You are. You got two. Yeah, people have really seemed to take to that. As far as restaurants, a few buddies that come out here always want to go to Wahoo's, a fish taco place, which is really good. I enjoy it. Or there's Roscoe's, chicken and waffles.
Oh, classic.
Yeah, which is really heavy but really great.
Worth it.
You know, I've been lucky enough that people have wanted to come out here fairly frequently, so I'm starting to kind of, you know, run out of
ideas. Doesn't surprise me. You're a popular guy.
I am a very popular guy. Thank you for saying so.
We're going to have to go hike together.
Yeah.
Bring our dogs.
Yeah. I don't have a dog. I'll steal a dog.
You could walk one of my dogs.
Yeah, that's true.
On the next episode of Brick House.
Matt, I think you're going to like this. We should probably check the air pressure of the basketballs in the city where we're going to next for the team preview. I think you know who we're talking about.
Oh, no.
But just to be sure, you got to tune in for number 19, next episode of Brick House. We'll be right back.